Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. Praise be to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for another day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller, and I am so glad that you tune in. I trust that we have some listeners, and you are really anticipating what is God going to say to us today. We send a shout out to Apostle Armstrong, who is the founder of this broadcast. And I just thank and praise him and the Lord for allowing us to come and share. We just thank and praise the Lord for this day. Yes, the Bible tells us this is the day that the Lord has made. And I don't know about you, but I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. In spite of what's happening in your life right now, listen. If it's not lining up with the word of God, it is subject to change. What you see is only temporarily. It is subject to change, but not without you. Your will is involved. We've been talking about really the freedom of choice, your will, you know, your will and my will. And I even shared a little bit for in my walk with the Lord for years. I struggled with that because I was waiting on God to do something about my will. Really, I was waiting on God to dominate my will, control my will. But I found out that he don't do that. And that was really a shock to me because in my ignorance and lack of knowledge, well, how in the world is I'm going to be able to obey and please the Lord if he don't do something about my will, not knowing that after I came to be a born-again Christian, or come to be a believer, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he a new creature, old things have passed away, behold, all things are new. I didn't realize that when I got born again, and remember Monday and Thursday of last week, we went and we read in Romans the 6th chapter. We went all the way to the 7th chapter, how that we no longer have a sin nature. And we started this the 4th last Monday, and we start talking about in Isaiah 1:18, where the Lord said through the prophet, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And in the New Living Translation, a translation that I read a lot from, it said, if you obey me and let me help you. And you know, there too again, I'm finding, you know, when you think about the Creator, when you think about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when you think about the All-Sufficient One, when you think about him, you know, our race, that God can do anything but fail. Listen to what I'm saying. God can do anything but fail. But when God gave us the freedom of choice, which is our will, we have to choose. We went into Deuteronomy, the 30 chapter, the 19th verse, and we shared with you how the Lord said, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. He said, you choose. And he said, you choose life that you and your seed may live. And we talked about in Genesis, the 2nd chapter, when God told Adam not to eat off the tree. He told him the tree not to eat off, but Adam chose after his will. He willingly did it. And because of that, we all had to suffer. But thanks be to God, God had another plan already in place because God knew that Adam and Eve were going to willingly sin. So there too again, you know, I found out just like I was struggling. Now, I don't try to put everybody is not on the same level of faith that one. Everybody's relationship with God is different. You might be an infant. You might You might be a toddler, you might be a teen, or you might be an adult, but all of us have to go through a process. The Bible said we have to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the thing that I'm really is targeting, that some of you that's struggling, you waiting on God to do something with your will. God is not going to do anything with your will. God is not going to violate it. God is not going to override it. Some of you is praying for your spouse, or you praying for your children, you praying for your relatives. God is not going to override their will, but God got a way. And God got a way. As the old saying said, the Lord have a way and his mind is sweet. God know how to get to all of us. God know how to get to all of us. You know, God got a way that he can melt your heart. How he do all of it, I don't know. But the point I really want to make, you know, I used to, when I was praying for certain people, and if I didn't see change in a certain depth of time, I would be so disheartened and disappointed. But especially when I was married, and the Lord had to show me I'm not going to override his will. I don't violate his will. The Bible even tells us in the gospel, whosoever will, let him come. Let him, as an act of his will, come. Now, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of conviction visit all of us. That's what draws us. God draws us. If you're born again, believe. He was the Holy Spirit begin to show you that you was a sinner, or begin to show you you needed him, you needed help. He kept wooing at you until you this year. Now, some people, God been wooing at for years, and they still choose not to. But the point I'm trying to make through this teaching is God is not going to violate your will. You know, God will give you an urge. You can sense your unction. You can sense, I need to read. I need to do this. Or the thought will come, don't do that. That's the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. But you and I, at any given time, we can rebel against the Holy Spirit. And I pray that we got this, getting this point across, because like I said, even, see, the thing that people got to realize, when you really made up in your mind to live right and you were sincere in your heart, the devil couldn't even stop you. The Holy Spirit would that lead you that way, and so you could receive help. Now the Bible tell us, and like I said, in Romans, the 6th chapter, we stayed in there. I read it from my Living Translation Bible. And like I said, this really been good for me, because it helped me to go back. It really have helped me to go back and see and even remind me. In that 12th verse, in Romans 6 and the 12th verse, it said, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. Do not let any part of your body become a tool to weakness to be used for sinning. Instead, give yourself completely to God, since you've been given a new life, and use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you are no longer subject to the law which enslaved you to sin. Instead, you are free by God's grace. So since God's grace has set us free, and that's why I hear a lot of different teaching about grace now, but grace is not a license to sin. Grace is God, and part of grace is God enabling us with the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to do what God wants us to do if we will to do it. So there too, again, my whole point in this teaching was to reveal to you and I, listen, you struggling with your will, you struggling with outside these desires. And now Jane put it this way, anytime you're being tempted, it's your strong desire is trying to pull you away from the things of God. You know, I don't know about you, but whenever I'm fasting, I have sometimes this strong desire come to me to want to eat. If I vow not to eat, if I vow not to watch the TV or whatever, or not be on my phone. Every time I can feel, I can sense this urgency to want to watch TV, urgency to want to get on the phone and talk, urgency to want to do other than what God. And these are temptations that come that try to get me away from doing what God say do. We're going to continue today. This might be my last day talking about it, but to let you know, as a born-again believer, you have, listen at me good, you've been graced with the ability, with the power to do what? To control your thoughts. Now, every thought and every imagination do not come from God. It do not come from Satan. It don't come from you. But by knowing the word of God, you'll be able to discern what is your thought, what is God's thought. Where these thoughts coming from, and what to do with these thoughts. And like I said, people that are struggling with depression, that's somebody that allowed the enemy to cause them to dwell on failure. Y'all listen, we all, the Bible said we all fall short of the glory of God. All of us done miss it, but we not supposed to dwell on it. When you open yourself up and you start dwelling on disappointment, things that you disappointed about, a discouragement, and it'll just pile up on you if you ain't careful. If you ain't careful, and the next thing you know, the enemy have you have your private party with the enemy. I thank and praise the Lord for Joyce Meyer, had a best-selling book about the battle of the mind. And you know, I'm a spirit. We are triumph being just like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they are one. And I'm a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. And, you know, once you learn that, see, that's why it's so important to be a student of the word. You know, I can't say that enough. You need to get in your word and find out what God say. This don't take on what somebody else say about the word. But as I stated, we're going to continue with this, you know, and we're going to talk about, we're going to go to Matthew, the third chapter first, and then we're going to go how Jesus was prepared for temptation. And listen, you and I have to be prepared. You ain't going to just come out the blue and defeat Satan. I want you to hear me good. You're not just going to come out the blue and beat this invisible being when you don't have no idea who he is or what he do. You know, as a child, growing up, they would come, my grandmama, what, the first person I ever hear said the devil and Lucifer and Satan. I had never heard it. And then when I got in Sunday school, we started hearing something about it. But they did not really explain it the way my grandmother them used to, you know, explain the devil. He was, the way they describe him, he had horns and a long tail and a pitchfork. And at night, I allow fear get in, and I'll be afraid to look from in the dark, to look from up under the cover, because I could imagine that he was at the foot of my bed waiting to, you know. So there too again, but once I got born again, I found out, you know, that God have not given me the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And the Bible helped me. That's why in Romans, the 12th chapter, Paul tell us that we have to renew our mind once we get saved. That is so important. But anyway, we're going to go on to pray, and y'all can tell I'm sitting on ready, because to me, God let me know when he gave this to me, he said a lot of saints is still struggling with their soul, but they don't realize, like I said, your soul is part of your mind, is in your soul, in your will. And you know, if you think wrong, guess what? You're going to talk and you're going to act wrong. That's why it's so important to get your mind renewed and renew it with the word of God. You have to discipline your mind. You can discipline your mind. Yes, you can. You know, the enemy wants you to believe you can't. I was at with Bishop Gibson yesterday, and that bishop, he preached an awesome word. He talked about Don't let this, stop letting the devil lie to you. And I mean, he worked that. And he would tell me how the devil put lies in your mind and called people to be in depression and be in stress and with fear. You know, how people take on the thoughts of the enemy. And it was just written down the line what God had me to minister on. Listen, you need to know who you are in Christ and what Christ did for you. You and I have been set free. That's what Romans the 6th chapter let us know. We've been set free from the sin nature. I don't have a sin nature no more. I have the nature of God in me. But I have to continue to renew my mind. That's my responsibility. But as I stated, I'm going to pray because I'm already keen up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I shabbat you. I thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. And Father, I thank you. We just choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I just thank you for bringing enlightenment and understanding to those that have tuned in to the broadcast. I thank you, Father, right now for the Holy Spirit, that being released, Holy Spirit, we need you to bring enlightenment. We need you to quicken the flesh. We need you to bring understanding and revelation to the viewers. And I thank you and I praise you for it. I want to remind you, Satan, you as a defeated foe, the blood of Jesus, the finishing work of Jesus defeated you. We bind you. We forbid you to interfere through the airways that will come to try to interfere what God is saying to his people. We plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood to everyone that have tuned in. I plead the blood of Jesus against demonic activity, demonic detraction. I plead the blood of Jesus against you right now. I bind up every principality that's trying to come against this broadcast, and I decree that you will not, and I forbid you to interfere in what God want to bring to those that have tuned in. Again, as I stated, we were just trying to bring you up to par about your will. And I'm telling you, when God gave us a will, to me, I told the Lord, I wish you had never gave me a will. But God wants us, as an act of our own will, he wants us to choose him. Even though God is a good God, he is a loving God, but God ain't going to make you serve him. God ain't going to make you read your Bible. God, you know, I hear a lot of people say sometimes, I just don't feel like it. You and I, once we get receive Jesus, Lord and Savior, we supposed to live by faith. Faith don't have nothing to do with my feeling. I watch some people, and y'all please hear what I'm finna say. It's good, you know, the Spirit of God is tangible sometimes. But let me tell you something. The Spirit just don't want to make you cry. The Holy Spirit, a lot of times when the glory show up, you'll cry. You'll get slain in the Spirit. But once you get up, and my thing is, Lord, let us, if we get slain in the Holy Spirit, if we just, when we get up, let something be not transpired in us. Let something take place that will cause us to never be the same again. That we won't continue to go around the same as the outer bear parks at the same dumb mountain. That's my thing. I even pray when I go to in service. I say, I want the Holy Spirit. I want the same Holy Spirit to manifest itself when he did in the book of Acts. I want to see him manifest itself, that when his power show up, when he show up, or when I lay hands on somebody, their life going to be transformed. Something going to take place. Whatever they've been in bondage with, I want to see them people set free. I want them to come back and say, you know, when the Lord led you to lay hands on me, I saw something taking place in my life, but guess what? He's gone. When you come on somebody, I want St. Mark, the 16th chapter, when you lay your hands on the sick, they recover. See, that's what I want to see take place in people's lives. Come on, somebody. You know, some people, you know, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with shouting. There's nothing wrong with dancing. I do all the above. But the thing is your life being transformed? You know, the Bible says Satan will transform himself into an angel of light. He'll transform himself. And sometimes you need to say, now, wait a minute, God. Now, your presence was so strong in the service. And, Lord, I got slain in the spirit. But, Lord, why wasn't nothing transformed? You know, how did I miss it? Or was I lacking something? And you know, so there too again. But anyway, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Matthew. I'm in Luke, but let's go to Matthew, the third chapter, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it from my Living Translation. Let's go to Matthew, the third chapter. And like I said, I want you to see this because there, too, again, you have to be prepared to operate or experience the victory that Jesus won. Yes, sin don't have the Bible tell us in Romans, and I was telling people, you need to go and read Romans. I mean, you know, it talk about the Mosaic law, which is the Torah. It talk about it, but no, we not. God don't require us. Now, listen, it's three categories of the Torah, the Mosaic law. Really, it was the ceremonial law. That's when they made sacrifices using animals and bull. We don't do that anymore. But the moral law, the way we treat one another, and the civic law. We still in that. God still require us to do that. In fact, y'all, God still require us to walk in holiness. Now, you know, when I was coming up, they defined holiness. If you were, you know, you couldn't show no skins, and, you know, a certain part of your body had to be covered up and all of that. Now, the thing about it, the Bible said that we have to be led by the Spirit. The Bible said the letter kill it, but the spirit give life. And I used to know the letter, but I didn't know the God of the letter. So when the Holy Spirit came in my life, he began to reveal. The Holy Spirit, and we let him, he the one that Jesus told those disciples, I might be getting ahead of myself, but he the one that Jesus told the disciples to go in the upper room, and he said, I want you to stay right there until you be endued with power from on high. And the power wasn't just only for them to catch thy devil. There too again, I be transparent because I want you to know, now God deal with everybody different, but let me tell you something. Even though God deal with us different pertaining to where we at, but let me tell you something. The word of God is still the same. The methods of God change, but the word of God do not change. And it going to always be, anytime God doing anything in your life or speaking to you, it going to always take you back to what is written. That's the thing you need to know. If what you're doing or what you hear, if it don't come back and you can't trace it with the word, You need to be very cautious of that and say, I can't do that. But anyway, as I stated, so God still requires us to love you one another. The first and the greatest commandment is to love God, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. It's a relationship. When Adam sinned, him and Eve, they did not lose. You know what they lose? They lost a relationship. Because God always wanted to have a relationship. God still want to have a relationship with you and I. He want to be able to talk up just like he did with Adam. He want to be able to for us to commune, to fellowship. Amen? He still want that. It's men is led by the Spirit. So many people, they get caught up in prophecies. You know, the Bible is full of it. They get caught up. They want somebody to get them. And I'm not against it, and I'm a prophet. But the Bible ain't never told us to live by prophecy only. And a lot of people don't realize whenever you receive a prophecy, you're going to have to do warfare for it. You're going to have to fight because the enemy don't want the prophecy. He don't want it to be fulfilled in your life. And you got some people, they want somebody else to always tell them what God say. That is not the plan of God for your life. God want to speak to you personally on a one-on-one. That's what God wants from us. He's a father. In the Old Testament, he was known as God. In the New Testament, he was known as Father. Because he want to talk to us. He want to be that Father. Now some call him dead and all that. I'm not going to get into that. That's not taken away from his holiness or who God is. When somebody says, well, he's my dad, you know. Well, in the book of Romans, Paul said, Abba. Abba, that means Father. Well, you see, there too again. You know, sometimes, y'all, we got to really be cautious, because the enemy are used to look little things in our life to throw us off or have us looking at one. Well, you didn't say this, and you, y'all, don't get in that. Don't. Paul told Timothy, don't even scribe on the word. Don't get in debate about the word. And I try to stay away from that. Okay, let's go to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Yeah, I want to go there, and I'm going, for time's sake, we're just going to read it from at Matthew, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to look at that 13th verse. Let's look at Matthew, the 3rd chapter, in that 13th verse. I'm reading from the Living Translation. And that 13th verse, hallelujah. He said, then Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan River, to be baptized by John. But John didn't want to baptize him. I am the one who needed to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it must be done, because we must do everything that is right. So then John baptized him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descended like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him. Now, if I had a subject today, it would be Jesus was prepared for the temptation. He was prepared to fight the enemy. He was prepared to experience the victory. And I'm saying, as I said in the beginning, we all have to be prepared to meet Satan and defeat him. Now, the Bible say in 1 John, it tell us that what caused us to overcome is our faith. He that's in us is greater than he that's coming against us. And the way the enemy do, he'll try to wear you down in your mind. I want you to hear me. If you think, I can think about the times when I allow, and I always do this, because the Lord, when the Lord began to give me this revelation about, and you allow, the enemy don't have no authority over you. You allow him. And God began to show me, and even in Ephesians, it said, neither give place to the devil. What you mean? How you give place to the devil? And the Holy Spirit, he walked me through it, and he showed me how I would give place to the devil. And the first thing he showed me, he told me in Ephesians, this 6th chapter, that I wasn't wrestling with flesh and blood, but I was wrestling with principality, ruler, die, spirit of weakness in high places. He began to let me know that I live in the natural, but it's also a spirit world. And once I got born again, the spirit world was open to me. So we live in two dimensions. We live in the spirit world, and we live in the natural world. And these Satan is a spirit, just like God is a spirit. Demons is a spirit. And we... that's what we be fighting against, these invisible beings. But if you have not been born again, you don't believe that. The enemy will fight you. But once you get born again and get in the word and renew your mind, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. Amen? But like I said, Jesus... Like I said, what I'm saying, my subject really is, I'm telling you, Jesus was prepared. He was prepared. Now, if you go into the Matthew, the 4th chapter, now after Jesus had been baptized, come on somebody, that's what I want you to see. After he was baptized, Jesus was led, according to that 4th verse. And like I said, I want you to see this because this is so important. Jesus was prepared. Come on. Jesus was prepared. Come on. I want you to know he was prepared for the temptation. Jesus was prepared. He was prepared. Come on now. I know I'm being a little repetitious here, but some of you, you don't realize that you have to be prepared to defeat the enemy. The Bible says he goes about as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. He going to target our mind. He targeting our mind. He injecting these thoughts in us to cause us to disobey and rebel against God. Remember my foundation scripture in Isaiah, the first chapter, 18 verse. God said, if you're willing and obedient, if you let me help you, and I'm telling you, Deuteronomy that 30 chapter, it tell us to choose freedom of choice. And I'm telling you, and some of you sitting around waiting on God, listen, I found out God will do what Ann can't do. But God ain't going to do what he told me to do. Now, the Bible tell me to forsake not the assembly together. God ain't going to make us go to church. Now, I tell people, if you in a church and they ain't teaching you this word and stuff like it's supposed to be taught, yeah, you need to seek the Lord before you join yourself to any church. But once you seek him, go and sit and let them teach you and equip you and perfect you in the word of God so you'll be able to fight the good fight of faith, as Paul said, that you'll be able to stand up against the wiles of the devil, that you'll know what to do when evil time come, or you'll know what to do when temptation come your way. Listen, God never intended for our Heavenly Father, he never intended for us to be defeated by the enemy. Now, I like something that Jesus said to Peter. When he asked the disciples, he said, who do Bandoroko Shata? He said, who do men say that I am? Some said Jeremiah the prophet, some said Isaiah. And Peter said, thou art the Christ. Jesus complimented him on that. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit is always waiting to reveal to us, bring about the reality of make the things of God real to us. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, you have to be prepared. But I like in that fourth chapter, I said we were going there, didn't I? Okay, let's go to Matthew, the fourth chapter, because I want you to see this because it's so important. But I'm going to read it. Hallelujah. One translation, I like what one translation say. It say that he was full of the Spirit. Let me see what that. And I like that he was full. Jesus did not take on the devil by himself. Yes, he was the Son of God. I'm very much aware of that. Luke, let's go to Luke. In the King James Version, Luke said, in Luke, the fourth chapter, third verse, it said, in Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, now the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is the same. Some people debate about that. I'm not here to debate with you about that. That sometimes, y'all, please hear me. I still pray all the time that God help me to be accurate with what I'm saying, but sometimes I might miss it. But listen, sometimes, y'all, we can miss God. I can't imagine, you know, everybody know most of us a stutter. And I'm sure at times that the enemy had people looking at the way Moses talked and stuttering. When Aaron was there, God had put Moses and Aaron together for Aaron to help Moses because Moses was intimidated because he stuttered. Because, you know, when we see some out the norm or what we call out the norm people, you're going to draw attention. I can imagine what Moses went through with. God said Moses was a meek man, but I can imagine kind of what Moses went through with, because Moses stuttered. We living in a time now, oh, they just want everything so accurate. You get up, and if you mispronounce a word sometimes, you lose one-third of the congregation. That's how the enemy got people now, and it's sad. It's really sad. Understand why Paul told Timothy, don't scribe and don't debate about, don't get in strife and debate about the word. Because these are things that the enemy used against us to keep us from really hearing what the Holy Spirit say. But anyway, he said, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, what I said, I want you to see, as I stated, I want you to see Jesus was prepared. I want you to hear me again. Jesus was prepared. I want you to hear me. He was prepared for the temptation. Jesus was prepared for the devil. He was prepared. How he was prepared, as I said, he received, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what made him prepared. Are y'all following what I'm saying? I'm telling you, this is so important because, as I stated, we have a lot of believers, they ain't prepared. Now, you know, the wilderness can prepare us and let us know some things, but the point I'm making through this here, I want to use from this perspective, the point this, Jesus was prepared. What made him prepared? It was the Holy Spirit. He was prepared. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, his many feelings you can get from the Holy Spirit. When we get born again, the Holy Spirit do a work in us. But sometimes I can tell when I need to be refilled, because sometimes I can find myself a little anxious, a little edgy, little thing just kind of get on my nerve. That let me know right there, okay, and you ain't spending enough time in the present, and you need to be refilled. It's those things you used to call, they use this word, terminology, you need a touch, another touch. And I'm telling you, But my point is, Jesus was prepared, okay? And then it said, in the second verse, it said, he had, well, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when day was in, he was after hunger. Now, and even with that, when I look at that, the enemy waited. He knew that Jesus was in the wilderness. Here Jesus is hungry. Now, here comes the old folks. You said the boogeyman. Ain't no boogeyman, right? I know. I can't say it now. I ain't no boogeyman. I know that, too. Just want to make sure I still have your attention. How about that? But anyway, like I said, now I'm going to switch over to my Living translation. It said, Luke, the fourth chapter, in that third verse, he said, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness, where the devil tempted him for 40 days. He ate nothing. All that time was very hungry. Then the devil said to him, see, the enemy, that's why sometimes, y'all, I look at sometimes how we go through life, and the enemy love to get you by yourself. And y'all, sometimes it's good that if you know how to be out the eyes of the public, but you know how to spend time with the Lord and all of that, it makes a difference. But I don't know, some people say, I'm going to use me as an example. When I first got saved, I won't forget, I said, you know what? I'm going to spend time with the Lord. The enemy told me, you need to fast. Now, you might say, no way in the world. Yeah, he did tell me that. But he knew I was a novice. And I called myself fasting, then go to Bible study, then go to service at that time that Sunday. And that whole week, I called myself praying. Y'all, I was so tormented. I was so tormented and all that stuff. And when I got back to church, this pastor at this time, he said, Pastor Barry Dixon, I never forget it. He said, Sister Ann, you done spent all that time with the Lord. We want to hear what the Lord got to say. I'm saying to myself, you sure don't want to. He ain't saying nothing. But I was so tormented because I did not know. I would, y'all, I'm telling you, I didn't know what I'm sharing with some of you. I didn't have no idea, you know. Now, don't get me wrong. I had been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but I still didn't know why. I didn't know why I was filled with the Holy Spirit. My mind said, well, when I thought about the Holy Spirit, it was to cast out devil. I did not know it was the Holy Spirit that was going to enable me not only to hear God, but know the will of God. He's going to open up the scriptures. He's going to give me the ability to live right. If I choose to live right, that's an act of my will. But like I said, the Lord don't override your will. But if you want to do right, Father, you know, this is where I talk to you. Now, Father, you know I will to do this. Now, I'm asking you to help me and strengthen me. The Lord do that. But now, if you don't want to, he ain't going to make you. And this is the point I want to make. Some of you saying, Lord, help me, but because you don't know him, you're not sensing up to the Spirit, you can't recognize it. But when he try to help you, you resist him. Now, just like grief, no, I can't tell nobody how to grieve. Because all of us, when we lose a loved one, so we're going to grieve. But let me tell you, so I can't tell you this, though. God don't mean for you to grieve the rest of your life. God don't mean for you to be so overwhelmed with grief you can't live. And you talking suicide and I don't want to live no more. No, that is not God at all. You know, when you look at him from a father perspective, what kind of father want to see their child sad all the time? What kind of father discipline you away that it bruise you, leave wounds or leave? That's not the kind of father that we have. What kind of father wants you to walk around fearful? That's not God, saints. I had to learn this. Because I had a lot of religion and tradition information, you know. Now, you know, when you mess up, God going to get you. And see, because my father was abusive, I compare God to my father. You know, when I missed it, the least little mistake I made, I got beaten for that. So I didn't know nothing. I really know God from the Old Testament. I didn't know him as a father and what I was taught. You know, you're going to hell. And at that time, I didn't realize, like I said, I didn't have no knowledge of who God was. And what I did know about God, they had me. Honey, I was afraid of God. I was afraid to talk to him, you know. I didn't know nothing about you could come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. I didn't know that. It was like I was taught legalism. The Pharisees, you know, and they were more concerned about the letter than they were showing people mercy. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is good. That's what they were more concerned about. But the point I want to make, Jesus was prepared. He was prepared. And I'm telling you, especially in the hour and the time that we're living in. And that's why I want people to know, when Jesus, I'm going to read some, finna read some notes. Y'all know I read some notes now. God wants us to come into experience where we've been baptized, totally immersed in the Holy Spirit. God has planned for us to face the enemy in the fullness of the Holy Spirit as Jesus did. That's what I want you to know. You ain't no match for the devil by yourself. Now, I know before you got born again, you thought you could jump through hoops and you can do all of that stuff. But even then, God was enabling you and you didn't even know it. But once you get born again, you come into the realization that, look, I need help. even when I get saved, I still need help. But the thing about it, according to the scripture, yes, God then gave us everything pertaining to life and godliness, but it's through the knowledge of Christ, knowing what Christ came to do and take it and embrace what he did. That's how we can walk in it. Are you with me? But I want you to see that. Like I said, God had planned, God, and guess what? We have access to the same Holy Spirit that would manifest in Jesus. I want you to hear me. That's why Jesus told him in Acts, go to the upper room and don't leave until you be endued with the promise, endued with the power, which is the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus promised him. He said that he had to go, but he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. And I'm telling you, if we need to really get acquainted with the Holy Spirit, we need to, I need to keep getting reacquainted with him. But we are to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit ain't going to never ask you and I and no born again believer to do anything that contrary to what this word say. And see, that's the thing about Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And then he was tempted. But you see, everything Jesus did on this earth, it was for you and to our advance to show us how once we get filled with the Holy Spirit and fellowship, commune with him, we can be victorious. Amen. God had planned that the same dunamis, that's another name for the Holy Spirit, the same dunamis power of the Holy Spirit that was manifest in Jesus' life to be manifest in our life. Not another spirit, but the same Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. God had planned that we'll remain full to the overflow with his Spirit so that we can walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We must yield to the Holy Spirit. We must walk in the full knowledge of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one to reveal to us through the scripture who God is and what he is to us, what's available for us. And see, there too again, I'm telling you, you and I need the Holy Spirit in us. Not just to lay dormant in you or for you to go just cast out of it, but listen. You and I need him first to help us to be a doer. It, like I said, but it's an act of our will. If some of you that have been tuned into this, you are struggling. You're struggling with depression. You're struggling with fear. You're struggling with disappointment. And you just don't know how I'm going to overcome. Some been struggling with certain addiction. And like I said, in the time that we're living in, prejudice, bitterness, hatred, strife. See, these things shouldn't be among the believers. They shouldn't be among us. We shouldn't be acting like that. The Bible said, the Bible tell us, the wrath of man work not the righteousness of God. But I want to show you that Jesus was really prepared. I'm serious. Jesus was prepared. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was ready to meet Satan, and when Satan tried to tempt him at his weakest point, when he tempted him at his weakest point, Jesus was able to say no to it. Because Jesus knew what his purpose was, what his assignment was. And God didn't have him to let John the Baptist baptize him just to fill the script. No, that's to let you and I know we need help. That's why Jesus was the example. And since I've been studying this, I find his God will for me to overcome every temptation. Yes? It's God's will for me to walk in 100% obedience. Now I know some of you thinking like I used to think when I didn't know nothing about staying full of the Holy Spirit, when I didn't know in it, when I was lacking knowledge, you know. Because most of the time when you hear people talk about walking obedience, they say ain't nobody perfect. That word perfect don't mean without fault. That means mature. The most of the time you see that word perfect, it means mature. We have to mature. We have to grow in the knowledge. We have to grow into these things. And that's why so many people, even now in the body, they start and they find out they got a call today, the next day or the next week. They want to be want a ceremony to confirm what they say they believe God called to be, and then they're out there. No, you have to be developed, the fruit of the Spirit. It's nine gifts like it's nine, but they have to be developed. And through our willingness to submit to the Lordship of the Holy Spirit, to be led, let him lead us. And when he's speaking, we obey him. Guess what it does? It calls us to develop. Fruit cultivated, that, you know. Yeah, all of them is in you. But as you and I walk and obey God, then we can do what he say. And the power is there. And like I said, there too again, now if you go to James, James, the first chapter, 12th and the 15th verse, it tells you. But like I said, the point that I'm using these scriptures because I want you to see that you and I do not have to yield to the devil. If God can just really get that in all of us, he wants us to know that sin nature been broke. Before the sin nature was broke off us, we was dominated. That sin nature controlled us. Paul even said it in Romans, the 7th chapter. He said, when I want to do good, evil was always present. We don't have a nature, we don't have a nature to sin if you're a born-again believer. But the point is, you can continue to override the unction of the Holy Spirit. You have control over your soul. Oh, yes. Yes, you and I have control over our soul. Now, you and I, I'm going to go to Ephesians. Might be my last scripture today. I want to show this Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. I'm going to read it from the Living. The Lord just brought this scripture to me. I'm telling you, you do what you like in this. You need to get that mind renewed. And when you read the word of God, embrace it. Say, I believe this. Okay? In Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, this is what it says. It said, once you were dead, doomed forever, because of your many sins, you used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passion and the desire of our evil nature. See, before we got born again, we had an evil nature. Sin was controlling us. This is what Paul said in Romans 6, in Romans the 7th chapter. I was being controlled. I was being dominated. When I wanted to do good, I couldn't do what I know was right to do, but I had a desire to do it. And he said, I didn't have the ability. I didn't have the power to do it. Then he said, who gonna set me free? I want you to know, if you've been born again, you and I have been set free from that evil nature, that nature that caused Satan to dominate us. The devil can't dominate us. See, the devil knows that he could not make Adam, he could not make Eve sin. So what he did, he had to make it so appealing. And this is what the enemy does. He makes sin so appealing for us as born-again believers. He has to try to weaken us so we can yield our will over to him, and then we'll rebel against God. But once you get a greater, a deeper revelation, then look, I have control over my thoughts. I have control over my emotions. I have control over my will. You do. We have control over our soul. But the enemy wants you to think you don't. I can't help myself. I can't help from cussing. I can't help from this. Yes, you can. You can. The enemy wants you to believe you can't. So that's what he do. He bring lies to us. As Bishop Gibson said, yes, stop believing the lies of the devil. A person that is depressed, a person that is having suicide thoughts, you believe in the lies that the enemy been injected to you. Those thoughts of disappointment, discouragement, poor me, oh me, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, and why me, all you doing is owing yourself and you believing and you trusting in the lies that the devil telling you. The Bible says Satan is the father of lies. He is a liar. He gonna lie. God tell you, you are fearfully, some people have a problem with their identity, you know. People have a problem with their identity. We living in that time. They confused. And the devil telling them, God didn't make, God made you like this. No, God made you what he wanted you to be. Romans, the first chapter, tell us that. And see, I'm telling you, God ain't, I'm trying, God is not going to override your will. It's a, all of us used to live that way, following the passion and the desires of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature, and we were under God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so very much that even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's special favor that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and we are sitting with him in heavenly realms. All because we are one with Christ. See, it's letting you know right there. You've been delivered from a sin nature. You do not have to let the outward man, your flesh, have desire. It craves the natural thing. It craves for that. I don't want to go to church today. I don't feel like this. All of you still have those feelings that come to you. Are you being tempted? That way, but you can say, no, I'm going to church because it's the thing to do. I just don't feel like reading my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible because I need to read it. I learned when I was dealing with, and still do, if I'm dealing with lies, I'm better yet, if I'm being persecuted, I read scriptures up on persecution. If I'm the enemy fighting me in my mind with certain, this one, I have to read scriptures and I have to cash them down. But my point is, through this teaching, that let you know God ain't going to override your will. You have the authority to control your will, your mind, and your emotion. You don't have to let the devil do that to you. And my prayer, and I'm thanking God for opening up your eyes and the scripture we done gave you. Because like I said, when Jesus went in that wilderness, now the wilderness can be a blessing. But the part I want to show you, he got baptized before he went in the wilderness. That was to enable him with the ability to overcome the temptation that the enemy was bringing to him. And you is an overcomer, the greater one that's on the inside of you. Stop letting the devil tell you what you can't do. And you be saying, I can't. You line up with what you can't do because of what you see and what you feel. What I see and what I feel are contradict what the word say. And that's why I have to live by faith. Faith tell me that what God say about me, that's so. Faith tell me the end of a thing, how it's going to turn out. Jeremiah said, God have an expected end. That means a great end for all of us. Okay, let me stop. Father, I thank you again for this word today. I give you praise. I give you honor. And we come against these mind-binding thoughts right now. And, Father, I release these people to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We will be continue, I guess, if the Lord allow me on Thursday with this word. This was Apostle William M. Miller. Enjoy the rest of your day.